You would think so, but I really don't. I really don't have endless funny things to say.
You don't have any
Witty.
quips in your back pocket there?
I don't have any witchy quips.
Witchy
Witch.
quips?
No witchy quips.
Witchy quips. That's my favorite band.
Witchy quips.
Yeah.
What you listen to? You know, good old witchy quips.
You know. I actually have notes for this one.
Oh.
I know.
Well, this will be a surprising turn of events.
I have four bullet points, but they're very important.
I'm very interested to hear these. Welcome back to It's 2 a.m., everybody. I'm Chad.
Oh, I'm Grace.
Every time you just sound like so begrudgingly, like, I'm still Grace.
I'm still trapped inside of this body.
Inside of this corporeal form. Today we're talking about Sabrita.
Yeah, why do you always spell it Sabrinta? Like, what are we saying here?
I don't know, I just like saying Sabrita. Sabrita, the teenage bitch.
I really wish we actually knew somebody named Sabrina so that you could call her
Oh
Sabrina.
yeah, I'd be like, Sabrita, come here, bitch.
Come here, bitch.
What a weird noise that was.
Yeah, Sabrina also sounds like a good drag name.
Ooh, yeah. But then you would have to go by Sabrina, the teenage bitch. Or
True.
the middle-aged housewife. Sabrina, the middle-aged housewife.
More accurate.
That's
Yeah,
the Bewitched reboot that they're gonna do.
yeah.
Which is actually supposedly happening.
They already did that movie.
I know, and that movie wasn't great.
Yeah, it was not.
And coming from two people who love garbage, that's saying something.
Yeah, exactly. No, I feel like we're definitely the scale of like whether things are bad or like fun bad. Because
Yeah.
we love bad stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's usually a good barometer for that. I think the scale that Catherine told me was very accurate, the like negative 10 to 10.
Okay.
Like if it's really bad, like 0 is like bad, don't watch it, and then like negative 10 is like bad, but you should watch it. It's really fun.
Okay, I see. I like it.
But anyway, Sabrina. Good old Sabrita.
Sabrina? Yeah, I know. I was excited about this when they announced it.
Oh, me too.
I remember when they announced it a while ago, I was like, oh, this will be cool. This will be interesting. And guess what, folks? It was.
It did not fail to deliver. If anything, it probably exceeded expectations.
Yeah, I think it did. I think it did exceed my expectations because I was not expecting a lot of what they ended up doing.
True.
And just how like far they took the whole Satan thing. I was just like
I agree. I was not expecting it to go to that extent.
I have some thoughts on the whole like Satanist aspect of it, but we don't really have to get into them right this very second.
I mean, okay. I mean, we can hold off on it, especially since there's that whole lawsuit with the Church of Satan going.
Yeah, which is really interesting.
I know, but we can talk about that when we get to Satanism.
We're gonna do a whole episode on Satanism.
Absolutely. I know nothing about it, so I'll be just directly reading from the Wikipedia page. Just tune in to listen to an ASMR version of me talking or reading the Wikipedia page.
Oh my God.
But,
Yeah,
the fun thing was, I definitely think this was probably one of the best reboots that have come out of this whole wave of reboots.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there really aren't that many that are, like, worth the whatever. Like, just worth watching. But this one is definitely. Yeah. This one definitely is.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's as... It's as campy and fun as Riverdale, but it, like, because of the genre being supernatural, it actually works a little bit better.
I was going to say it actually makes way more sense than anything that's happening on Riverdale.
Well, yeah, that and the plot is cohesive, which yeah. Riverdale really just...
They just go ham. What's interesting, I remember you saying, like, when this was going to come out, you were saying, it's good that it's coming from the Riverdale people because the aesthetic of Riverdale fits this a lot more, which I totally agree with.
Yes. Yeah, I, which, like, not that the aesthetics on Riverdale aren't great, they are, but it, like, on Riverdale, it, like, toes a weird line. Yeah. Where you're like, what fucking decade are we in?
Okay, well, the thing with Sabrina is they also kind of have that problem. I have no idea what time period, like, when we are.
Because of the genre, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's just confusing sometimes when you see people with, like, you don't see any cell phones. But
okay, that's literally one of my bullet points. No one has cell phones? ?
Yeah, because there's no cell phones. Ambrose had a computer in one of the scenes.
Yes, okay, yeah.
He had, like, a laptop computer, and then there was, like, they used those old fucking house phones and shit, and, like, there are, like, old radios and stuff. I'm just like, when are we? Because in the comic book, it's, like, it's pretty much, like, in the 60s or something like that, I think.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's very much dressed like it's the 50s. Or 60s.
Yeah.
Maybe not 50s. I think Sabrina's... I feel like they just, like, took her wardrobe from Mad Men, and they were like, yeah, just wear that.
Yeah. It's like, I have a whole bunch of clothes left over from Mad Men. Yeah, that's fine.
Great. Loving it. Yeah, everybody's dressed very 60s.
Like, I don't have a problem.
I'm more willing to, like, suspend my disbelief.
Yeah.
On Sabrina. But it is definitely a little bit confusing. Yeah, I totally didn't catch that about Ambrose having a computer. Because I was like, there's literally no technology.
Yeah, that's the only thing. It's, like, just very perplexing. So I'm like, honestly, that's, like, one of the only questions I had throughout the entire show. Is I was just like, when are we?
I mean, the other thing I can think of is that, like, so in Harry Potter, they explain not having technology with the fact that, like, magic fucks up technology.
Yeah.
Like, magic fucks up, like, electronics and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I can think is that the aunts and, like, a lot of the people we interact with who are, like, you know, magical, like, beings and whatever, are so old.
Yeah, you know, they do. All,
like, hundreds of years old, so, like, they probably just haven't come into this century yet.
Yeah, like, to them it, like, means nothing. They're like, cell phones are like, what?
Yeah. They're like, I can literally astral project.
Yeah, I don't need the internet.
I don't need to call you. Yeah, I mean, I think it's mostly just for the aesthetic.
Yeah. I mean, I buy it.
Yeah, me too. I don't really care.
True. Something that was really bothering me, though, was the, like, I do love the cinematography of it. I really think it works very well. What was really bothering me was those fucking blur shots. Like, those blurry shots. Oh, my God.
Same. Literally, I was like, what is happening right now?
Because I watched the entirety of the series twice. And once I watched it in my room, which is, like, I have a pretty big TV, but it's, like, the highest it goes is, I think, like, 1080. And then I watched it downstairs with my mom on the big TV, like, the bigger TV, which is, like, 4K. And those blur shots are way worse in 4K. Like,
oh, I can imagine.
It really was, like, it hurt my eyes to look at it.
I was, like, at first, like, I think the first time I, like, super noticed the blur shots was when she went out into the woods and she was like summoning the
weird sisters.
Yeah, so I noticed it then, so I was like, oh, they're just sort of doing it to be like, oh, she's using magic, or we sort of like warped the time space a little bit. So I was like, okay, but then they just started using it on like random shots.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
It went from being motivated to just, like, arbitrarily using it.
Yeah.
For aesthetics.
Like, yeah.
And it was very off-putting.
Didn't agree with that much. But I thought other than that, the cinematography was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Was pretty decent.
Yeah, because they really used it to set a tone and tell this kind of otherworldly story.
Yeah.
Like, it really, especially setting it apart from, say, Riverdale, it definitely, like, you can tell that they're in the same universe.
Yeah.
But they're not, like, at the same place.
Yeah.
Which is funny because, like, they did mention something about Riverdale once. I think it was, like, when Harvey was talking about them using a different funeral home.
No, they, it was the scene where the, Sabrina and the Weird Sisters were, like, luring those boys into the mines.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, we're from a different school. And they were like, we're Riverdale?
We're from a special school.
I was like, LOL, Riverdale.
I know. I can't wait for them to, like, randomly cross over.
Oh my god, I really hope so.
If they don't do a crossover episode, I'm going to be so upset because I'm just like, don't miss this opportunity.
That's my only wish for 2019.
Well, especially with the storyline that Riverdale has going on this season where it's kind of, they're kind of delving into, like, a more supernatural type thing with this whole Gargoyle King thing that they have going on.
Oh my god. I haven't watched any of that, but that sounds hilarious.
It's really funny. They have this, like, parody version of Dungeons and Dragons called Griffins and Gargoyles. it's so funny. And they keep saying, they're like, oh yeah, our parents played G&G in high school. And I'm just like, are you really saying? Like, did they really?
Have they done the flashback episode yet?
Yeah, that was last week or so? Like, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think they're taking, like, a little break for a week or so because of fucking Thanksgiving.
Gotcha. Fucking Thanksgiving.
That's the only thing about the holidays is they really, like, ruin the release schedule of stuff. It's like, why? I'm already home. Just let me watch TV.
I know, right?
But, like, you know.
Just let me watch TV. I'm gay.
Yeah. At least, like, BBC, they don't really give a fuck. They just, like, release stuff on,
on Christmas?
Yeah. Although, whatchamacallit's supposed to be coming out close to Christmas, if not on Christmas.
What?
The new season of Runaways.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And they're just putting out the whole thing all at once. Thank God.
That's such a random choice to be like, Christmas! Like, that's not even remotely a Christmas show.
True. Maybe they're just being like, Merry Christmas, gays.
Here's your shitty Marvel spin-off television.
With iconic lesbians. Go away now.
Leave us alone.
But yeah, with Sabrina, because I was telling you this, like when I was initially watching it, I remember it was very weird because I was just like, when I was watching it, I'm like, this feels very reminiscent. Like the storylines that they were doing, I was like, I feel like this is almost some of the same plot points that they did in the original series.
So, did you ever go back and fact check that?
So I watched the pilot
Okay.
just for my own clarification, and like the pilot is like some of the plot points from the pilot are in the pilot for this like Chilling Adventures for Sabrina.
Okay.
But they're not like it's not like direct. The only things that I remember specifically from like because I watched the original one when I was younger, like all the way through. Because I used to watch it week to week. And I remember her telling Harvey once that she was a witch, and I remember her making him forget. And I was like, oh, I do remember that from the original series. So that was interesting that they did it in this, like the reboot of Sabrina. And the whole like excommunication of Hilda was interesting because I remember in the original series, Hilda lost her powers at one point. And that's when she started. Because if you ever watched the original, that was when she started working at the clock shop, I think.
Yeah, I don't really remember the original.
Ah. I just remember, like, really random things from it. I do
I
remember them going to
remember
trial, though.
it. I just don't specifically remember anything. Like, I know that I used to watch it, and then right around Halloween, my friends and I were watching some of it, like a couple weeks before. We were watching some of the original, like the first couple of episodes. Just to like kind of reminisce before the new series came out. So that was interesting.
Yeah, I remember the theme songs were really funny.
Theme song was great. Also, the other funny thing is that there was also that animated version of it, wasn't there?
Yes. Oh, that was a fun animated series.
So this source material has been like used like many times.
True. I completely forgot about that animated series. Also, they made her aunts look like really young in the animated series.
Oh, really? I don't remember that. I remember it. The animation was like the Lizzie McGuire animation.
Kind of. It's like they're a little rounder than that. But yeah, it was very similar. I do remember they did do the trial thing in the original series though, like Sabrina being on trial. But I can't remember what she was on trial for. But I remember the judge was RuPaul.
That's amazing.
That was one of the random things I remembered.
That sounds about right.
Right? I mean, it was the 90s.
It was the 90s, yeah.
Everything was cray. RuPaul had a talk show.
Oh my God. Sounds like something that would maybe still happen today.
I think RuPaul is getting a talk show again.
Oh boy.
Right. The 90s are just resurfacing. That's really all it is. Everyone refuses to let go of their nostalgia. To which I'm just like, hey, not everything is as you remember.
It's true. Not everything is as good as you remember. And that's a fact.
And that's rock fact.
That's a rock fact. Yeah, should we, like, go over the characters?
Yeah, I kind of want to know, what were your other bullet points that you had? Or is one of them related to the characters, to which we could just go into the characters?
No, actually, we touched on the first three of my bullet points, which were the aesthetics, the no cell phones thing, and the source material, like the original source material.
So is the fourth one just Satan?
The fourth one is, and this is in all caps, Orgy While Criminal by Fiona Apple Plays. Because
True.
as soon as that happened, I scrambled for my notebook to write it down because I was like, I cannot forget this.
I agree. I definitely felt that that was. I felt like that was a little thing to throw out there for the gays.
Because that was hilarious.
I know. She's just like, I'm gonna wake up, wakes up in the middle of the night. Is that Fiona Apple?
Like this song choice right now.
The funniest thing about that is I was thinking about that music video a couple of days before that series came out, and then when I saw that, I was just like, did I predict this by accident?
Oh my God.
Which is interesting because I have literally had like this one song from the Glitter soundtrack stuck in my head for like 2 weeks. And now the Glitter soundtrack is back on the iTunes chart. It's literally like number one on the iTunes chart right now.
Why?
I don't know. I really don't know why that's happened. I don't know if all of the gays have suddenly just rediscovered it, or like someone did like a Glitter movie, like someone boosted the movie, or maybe someone listened to that one episode of It's 3 AM that me and Catherine did where I was talking about watching Glitter. I don't know.
Probably, yeah.
I don't know what's going on. Sometimes I feel like I just have that kind of effect on things.
That is so random.
But anyway, enough about my prophetic powers.
Sure. Yeah, no, that scene was hilarious.
So, do we want to talk about the characters in relation to their original counterparts?
I don't know that I really need to, other than well, the ants really I think it's really interesting how they like did their dynamic this go around.
Yeah.
Like just because like in the original like they were yeah, they butted they, like they would butt heads constantly, but like wow, they like really went deep in this version on
Yeah.
their like relationship.
Oh yeah. There's definitely like a weird power dynamic between the two of them. Also, like I like that they held true to the initial kind of like the initial structure of their characters where like Hilda is more of like the fun aunt while Zelda is like the more like strict one, like, hey, you should probably follow the rules. Like,
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was like always a given with their characters.
yeah, but them going the direction in which they did, I wasn't. I too was not expecting that, because especially with like Hilda, I wasn't expecting her to be as like, I don't know, Martha May homemaker.
Oh, I loved her.
Oh
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
I loved her, don't get me wrong. I just
Yeah.
didn't expect them to go in that direction.
Right,
Even
right, right,
after
right.
reading the comics, I didn't know if that was what they were gonna go for.
Yeah, it is interesting because in the original, she's actually like she's a bit of a party girl. Like
Yeah.
she's a bit of a like don't know. I was gonna say floozy.
She's a floozy.
Like she was really ditzy and she would always be the one like going out on dates,
Yeah.
like
She was the fun. Yeah, just the fun aunt.
Yeah, she was definitely, like, way more fun. And in this one, she's more of a homebody. I mean, she does, she has that whole plot line of her, like, trying to date.
Oh, with her going, with her getting that job. And
Oh, no, that was the dream sequence episode, right? Where she dates the principal.
Yeah, that was the dream sequence. That was so fucking weird.
That episode, I was like, what?
It was... We'll get to that. We'll come back. Let's circle back to that particular episode.
Yeah.
But, Zelda... There are so many scenes where I loved her, like, just the shit that she would say, but I love the fact that any random time she's just like, oh, praise Satan.
Yeah, I know. She's like, praise Satan. I'm like, yes.
I love when she's, like, sitting on the porch smoking. Honestly, that whole thing with her smoking cigarettes just all the time was so funny.
Yeah, that little ring.
Yes. That's so cool.
Cigarette holder.
I know. I'm like, where do I get one? I mean, I quit smoking years ago, but... I just want to, like, walk around holding it.
I just want to wear it.
And then just sit on my porch reading the newspaper and then just laugh and say, praise Satan.
Praise Satan. Yeah, no, she was, like, great. Except for that... Like, her character was great, but then, like, I really got tired of her being, like, so extra about everything that Sabrina had to do. I was like, girl, you need to calm down.
Well, Sabrina was also being super extra at certain points.
Yeah, she was. She was. But then, like, Zelda's, like, whole plot line where she was, like, having an affair with What's-His-Face.
The gross vampire.
Oh, God. I did not like him.
He's just... Well, yeah. It's funny because when I was watching it with my mom, I literally said, I do not trust any dude who has long-ass fingernails.
Yep.
Any dude 100%. Who has long fingernails cannot be trusted.
Absolutely.
Because if he can't be trusted to take care of his own personal hygiene, then there's something wrong.
Yep. Agree.
And turns out you can't trust him because apparently he's just a slut.
He's a total slut. He has, like, illegitimate children, apparently. Also, I felt really bad for his wife.
Oh, yeah. I totally did.
That whole storyline was crazy.
She's, true martyr of the series.
Like, I feel like they painted her character, like, so crazy. And I was like, first of all, she's married to that guy, so.
True. Also, she had to be pregnant for 13 months.
Yeah, it was just like, I was like, what are we saying here? Like, what are we saying about women here? Like... What's the comment we're making?
About society.
Because...
That pregnant women crazy?
I don't like it. Yeah. There was a lot of weird, like, gender role things that were happening at certain points, which I feel like for the most part it was, like, well-intended. You know, like, they were, like, trying to say feminist things.
Mm-hmm.
And then at certain points, I was just like, did you think this one through?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I agree. I mean, I definitely feel like because of the amount of female cast that they have on this show, they definitely paint their female characters to be a lot more dynamic.
Oh, yeah. No, I love how many, like, different female characters are on it and, like, how different they all are.
Yeah. See, that's the only thing I wouldn't say I have a problem with. It's really just more of, like, commentary. Like, as we start to see, like, more female character, like, a lot more female characters on, in entertainment and stuff like that, I feel like there's going to be a lot more, there's going to be a lot of different versions of female characters where some are going to seem, like, way negative or whatever, but I'm like, well, there've always been those male characters presented, but it's because they're male that you're just like, oh, that's fine, but it's like, if you, if that character were a female, it seems like you're painting females in a negative light. And I'm like, well, people are people, and we're a lot more dynamic than that, and there are just as many evil women out there as there are evil men. So.
Yeah, but it's not about having... You know I love evil women.
Oh, yeah.
It's more about, like... I wasn't saying any of the care. I don't have a problem with how they paint any of the characters. It was more how they did, like, certain storylines.
Okay.
And just the overall, like... theme, I guess, of, like, women having power.
Mm-hmm.
Was mostly seen as, like... You know, it was like, you have to sell your soul to Satan to get this power.
Yeah.
But it was mostly women, and then they have this one guy who's, like, their priest, essentially.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is just weird gender dynamics going on here. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Satan is who they pray to, who's a man. Satan is who they praise, and Satan is who they get their power from, who's a man, and they have to literally sign over their whole soul to get this power to a man. And yet you're saying that it's empowering for women to have this power. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think it's more the whole, like, the whole theme of, like, the how they got their power that,
yeah,
I more so had a problem with.
Yeah. I feel like they try and save it towards the end with Miss Wardwell being like, don't, like, think of it as you signing over your name to, like, be given this power. You're taking it. She's like, take it and own it and do what you want or do what you will with it. And I'm like, yeah. Like, I see that they're, I see what they were trying to do with that while, like, trying to say, like, you're not asking for it. You're actually just taking charge of your own life or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, I get where they were going, but it's like, it's still just, like, a really weird dynamic.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I think that's really what it is. It's like, it's just a weird, like, I'm like, are you saying that it's a good thing that witches are women who are powerful, or are you saying it's a bad thing? Because Sabrina's ties to morality and her not having power are what's seen as her good side.
Yeah.
And then her ties to being a witch and having power are what's seen as bad. So
yeah.
It's just, like, interesting.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the weird dynamic there, where it's, like, her being mortal and having a normal life is seen as good, but her having, like, being a witch and having power is seen as being, like, dark.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It is a weird dynamic. I don't, I really don't understand why they painted it in that way.
Yeah, it's just interesting. I mean, I've, like, always been into, like, you know, like, witch lore and witch culture. I know you have too.
Yeah.
And I just, like, have always been really fascinated with witch lore because it is primarily about women having power.
Yeah.
And how, like, throughout history that has been seen as, like, a bad thing.
True.
You know, like, witches are seen as evil creatures, but they're just women with powers.
Exactly.
You know, why are they always evil? Why are they always, like, the villain?
I agree. See, what's interesting about that is they're kind of... I think with the amount of female characters that there are, like, the female witches in their ability, like, their strength, what I find interesting is, like, the end of the season where they're kind of... It kind of seems like they're gearing up to this whole, like, battle of the sexes type thing with, like, the priests being all, like, gathering all the warlocks together and being all, like...
Oh, yeah, that was wild.
That was just so weird. I was, like... I was literally Ambrose in that scene. He's, like, looking around like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I really hope Ambrose kicks all their asses.
Same.
Well, I really like Prudence's character as, like, an exploration of that.
Mm-hmm.
Just in terms of, like, oh, is she really evil? Or is she just misunderstood?
Is she really evil or is she just a bitch?
Yeah, exactly.
The answer is bitch.
I actually really like that we got to see more of Prudence's, like, character. Like, we actually got to, like, explore her character. She wasn't just, like, the main bully.
True. I also agree. I really enjoyed her character. I'm glad that they made her an actress of color.
Yeah.
Because I was like, if they would have made her another, like... just another white girl, it would have been a completely different story, I feel.
Yeah.
But I do love like the way that they tried to inject more more diversity in this, and especially within the witch world, like how you can see like they're not very like, I don't want to say, like, racist, because they're definitely racist against mortals, it seems.
Yeah, but, straight racist.
But, that seems to be the only thing. But, I think, but, you know, of course that stems from the fact that mortals have persecuted them, so.
Right.
But, I don't know. I really liked her character. I really liked the fact that they showed some vulnerability with her when they did the Feast of Feasts episode. I think moving forward, they're probably going to, we're going to just see more behind the layers, yeah. Hopefully.
I hope in, like, future seasons we see more and more of her. Like, that she gets more layers.
Yeah. I mean...
She's such an interesting character to explore.
Yeah. I mean, the logical endgame, I feel, is they're going to make her fall in love with a mortal.
Really?
Yeah. I was thinking about that the other day. I was just like, you know, she's very, like, prejudiced against mortals, so I feel like they're going to make her fall in love with one, just to make her question herself.
I would be very bored with that.
But what if it were a woman?
Okay, you get a pass for that.
Like, what if she falls in love with the best friend? Her, Sabrina's one best friend who's going blind, whose name I forgot. The only one I can remember. Yes. The only one I can remember was Susie. I was like, no, that's not the one I was thinking of.
Susie. That would be interesting. I don't think they would fit together at all. If anything, I think they're going to make a romance between Nick and Prudence.
Maybe, but, you know, Nick is far more into Sabrina. They're definitely going for that love triangle. Like, Sabrina, Harvey, Nick.
Yeah, which, like, snore.
Yeah, because, I mean, the obvious choice is Nick.
Like, God, yeah.
I mean, this is just really... It's just really funny because, like, we both took those BuzzFeed quizzes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the one where it's, like, which Riverdale / Sabrina characters are you? And we both got Cheryl and Prudence. Which is hilarious. But hello, Reason We're Friends.
Yep.
And then we both got in the in the fucking which Sabrina boyfriend should you or should you have? We both got fucking Harvey. But we both wanted Nick.
We both wanted Nick. Ugh, true. Harvey is such a drip. Like,
true.
That's actually what I was definitely going to say in comparison to the original. Their relationship in the original is so much more interesting because, I mean, it's like, obviously it's like a sitcom, so they can like, you know, it's going to be a different tone of their romance. But it's so much more interesting because, like, you get to, like, know who Harvey is through Sabrina being the new girl and hanging out with him. And then they actually become, like, they're, like, best friends.
Yeah.
They're, like, real BFFs before they start dating.
Yeah.
Like, they always kind of, like each other. And there's, like, always, like, a teasing of romance. But they're actually, like, BFFs in the original. Which, to me, is, like, way more interesting than, like, where we start out with this one, which is just like they're together and they're in teen love.
Yeah, I mean, I will give them a little credit as to how they tried or how they tried to portray their relationship at the beginning. They really tried to like cut the exposition and show you how her Harvey and her friends are all together. And they're basically, like, this friend, like, this big friend group. So you're, like, I mean, they do a good bit with that where, I believe it, at least. I believe it more so than I do on, like, other teen shows, I'll say.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not like Scott and Allison level of, yeah. Like, you know, we fell in love for no reason.
Exactly.
Kind of. But I do think it falls into that, it falls a little bit into that trope of, like, just buy it. Just buy that they're in love, even though they're 14 years old. I'm like, I don't buy, we've talked about this on this podcast before, I don't buy teen love. I don't buy it.
I don't buy like, love.
I don't, well, no, I
look, guys, it's really just a series of chemical reactions.
Exactly. A neurochemical con job.
I don't know. Yeah. I like when we both are just like, I don't know. I mean, overall, I feel like I do like Harvey's character in general, but for me to get more into him, we're going to have to see him sans Sabrina.
Yes, and his and Sabrina's relationship doesn't bother me. I think it's a believable, like, romance, and it doesn't bother me. It's just, like, I just feel like it's just, like, okay, we've seen this before.
True.
Doodly-doo. So, yeah. But I do agree with you about, like, them condensing the exposition, you know, because, like, they have to start it out where, like, the whole thing is about her being torn between her mortal life and her witch life. So they have to start it out where she's already very invested in her mortal life.
Yeah.
You know, we have to, like, see her being invested.
We have to identify with her mortal life.
Right. Just a normal group of teens.
Yeah. So I'm really wondering what they're going to do with her friends moving into the second season. I mean, I know that they're going to have they're coming out with a Christmas special.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What's his name? The writer for the show, like the show creator, he said that this is like his favorite episode that he's done so far. So I'm like, okay, I'm interested. But I mean,
I love spooky Christmas shit.
I know, right? I can only watch Nightmare Before Christmas so many times.
Yeah, I know. We need more spooky Christmas, man. Like, us gays are dying out here. We can't.
We're dying out here. That was fighting for gay rights. I was fighting for gay rights and people died.
I just can't be cheery all fucking winter long. Need my spooky shit.
Sabrina threw the first brick at Stonewall.
Greg Berlanti threw the first brick at Stonewall.
I'd believe it. Naruto, believe it!
Okay. What was I gonna say? Oh, yeah. So I think that Susie... Mm-hmm. I think we're gonna see her go through a transition into a boy. I think that she's gonna become a trans character.
Maybe. So, well, the thing is I'm not sure which direction Susie is trans, or, like, in that way. I'm not sure if they're trying to present Susie as a gender non-binary character or a trans character, because they have not clarified, but the way that it was presented seemed as though Susie was born a cis male but identifies as a female.
So, here's my theory.
Okay.
So, funnily enough, because you said that, when I watched the pilot with, like, my friends, and we all thought the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, oh, it's like a, she's like a butch trans girl. Mm-hmm. Like, that's cool. Like, that's interesting. That's a character that we, like, haven't seen before, you know? Or haven't seen often, I guess. I can't think of another example of that. But then as I was watching more of the series, I was like, well, I don't know, because, like, if she were a trans girl, I feel like they would make it more evident with, like her, you know, they didn't have any storylines with, like, they go into her family, but they don't have any storylines with, like, her family, disapproving of her lifestyle, or, like, I don't know, misgendering her. Like, no one misgenders her.
Mm-hmm.
They all call her she. They all refer to her in female pronouns, except for
Roz's aunt.
What?
Roz's aunt.
Yes, except for Roz's aunt, who has the gift of sight.
Yeah, and she called him a handsome man, or she called Susie a handsome man. Yeah. And the only reason why I thought that was like one of the telling points where I thought that she was, or Susie is, like, a trans woman is because when she comes in and she says, "Oh, there's a handsome man," and then Roz starts to correct her, and then Susie says, "No, it's okay." I thought that that was one of those instances of, like, an older person misgendering someone.
So, that scene actually goes into my theory. I think because of that scene also.
Mm-hmm.
Because Susie's, Roz's grandma, mm-hmm, is blind. She can't see Susie.
Yeah.
She's seeing who Susie really is.
Yeah.
She's not seeing, like, a girl who's dressed like a boy and saying, "Oh, a boy." She's seeing inside of Susie.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, because they make this whole thing, this whole big deal about how she has the sight and she can sense things and, you know, she's blind, but she has these heightened, like, psychic abilities.
Yeah.
So I think that in that, what happened in that scene is that she called Susie a boy, and Roz goes to correct her, saying, like, no, my friend's a girl, and Susie's like, no, it's okay, meaning Susie actually identifies with being a boy.
Yeah.
The other part of my theory...
That was a two-parter.
...is the great aunt that Susie starts seeing.
Theodora.
Theodora, who dresses like a man,
mm-hmm.
and like pretended to be a man or whatever the story there was, she also calls Susie a boy.
Okay.
There's like a scene where Susie's talking to her, and Theodora is like, "Oh, you were such a brave little boy," or something like that.
Hmm. True.
So.
I mean, there's validity to this theory. I'm not saying you're wrong. There's validity to this.
Yeah. I think my current I think it would be really cool if Susie were a just a butch trans girl, you know, like a trans girl who dressed just kind of masculine, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be really cool because that's like a very unique character, you know, like we've seen trans women before, but we've seen them as feminine trans women.
Yeah.
So I think that would be cool, but my theory is that we're actually going to see her start to identify as a boy.
Okay. I mean, my whole thing is I'm like, just call her genderqueer and we'll just call her genderqueer and we'll call it a day.
Honestly, yeah, that could be true too. She could just go as non-binary, but that's what I feel.
A lot of interesting theories flying around here. It's 2A. I mean, she's just going to be an interesting character to watch progress in general.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially within the supernatural genre, because there aren't a lot of those characters within the supernatural genre.
Yeah, which, like, if you think about it, there should be. There should be way more, like, queer people.
Yeah, I mean, isn't, like, werewolfism basically, like, a giant metaphor for that anyway?
Is it?
I don't know.
What are you talking about?
I don't know, I'm projecting.
Projecting. I'm just every full moon, us gays go insanely crazy.
Yeah, that's actually fairly accurate. Only when Mercury is in retrograde.
Yeah. Which is like a lot.
Yeah.
I do also really like Roz.
Oh, me too. I can't wait to see her character change.
Yes, I'm really excited for her whole, like, sight thing to happen, because she's, like, having these visions and, like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, also another underrepresented community within the supernatural genre and entertainment in general, like, people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's going to be interesting to see. I'm like, are they going to make her, like, full blind within the show or no?
I think we're just going to watch the progression of it happen.
Yeah.
She'll probably go slowly blind. And then maybe by that point she'll have, like, gotten a grip on her powers.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, my initial thought after that was, like, once she shared that with Sabrina literally did not think, like, maybe I could lift the curse for her or, like, look into it or something. She just, like, no. I'm going to resurrect Harvey's brother, though. It's like, really? Really, Sabrina?
Oh, my God, yeah. That whole storyline, I was like, Sabrina, what are you doing? Like, you know this isn't going to end well. Like, that was, like, everything else Sabrina did, I was like, oh, yeah, I understand why she's doing this. Like, you know, she's a teenager and she, like, wants her freedom, and this whole life change is, like, freaking her out, and there's all this stuff with her parents and, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, I completely understand why she's, like, freaking out about this. But then, like, that storyline, I was like, you are being entirely irrational.
Yeah.
I was like, you need to stop and think for 2 seconds about what you're doing.
Just two. Just 2 whole seconds.
Just really, just take a second. Like, yeah, that was That was too much. Poor Harvey.
I know. Talk about trauma.
He had to, like, murder his
First, you have to go through the whole funeral in general. Then, yeah, that kid needs therapy hardcore.
Yep. That was so wild.
But anyway, let's talk about everyone's favorite homosexual, Ambrose.
Yes.
Who, actually, I don't even... I think he's pansexual, technically. I think that's according to the source material. Because I think Ambrose in the comics is supposed to be pansexual.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, he was also in that orgy scene.
Yeah.
So, I thought that was weird. I was just like, why are the two gays in this scene?
My impression of that scene was just like, oh, it's just a romp around, like, doesn't matter what sexuality you are, we're all just getting off here, like.
To which I would be like, no thank you, please keep vaginas away.
It's the power of Fiona Apple.
Yeah. You turn on Criminal by Fiona Apple at a party and things just get weird.
Yep. Yeah, I saw a post that on Tumblr that was like, the chilling adventures of Sabrina took away Salem from our cold gay hands, but they gave us Ambrose, which is basically the same character.
I mean, basically.
I guess.
That is really funny because I thought about that too. I was just like, he's on house arrest just like Salem was.
Yep.
Isn't allowed to do anything.
Yep. He's got like a witty comeback for everything Sabrina says.
He's black.
He's black. He's gay.
True.
Yeah, I'll eat my hat if Salem wasn't gay.
I will eat my hat. I heard that, or not heard, I read somewhere that in the future, Salem might actually speak. But we'll see. I think that has to deal with the fact that he's more of a feral familiar.
Right.
So.
Well, nobody's familiars speak. They can just understand them, right?
Yes. I don't know. They really don't touch that much on... Like, they explain it kind of, like, in the very beginning, but other than that, they don't really...
Well, except for... Now I'm thinking about it. At the very end, when Miss Wardwell is talking to her familiar, the crow or the raven or whatever...
Yeah, and he starts to talk.
Yeah, he's, like, calling at her, and she's like, just talk, and then he actually does speak.
Yeah. So that's the thing I was thinking, is I'm just like, do they only speak, like, they speak like that for, like, code, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
So that, like, if mortals overhear, they don't hear you talking to a fucking animal.
Yeah, that, and I think also, like, the way that they present it is, like, familiar is, like, very, very tied to their person. So they're probably, like, so even other, like, witches or magical beings wouldn't be able to hear or understand them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, only their person is able to understand them.
I agree. That's how it seems, at least.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. That was interesting with him speaking at the end. So maybe we will get some of Salem talking next season.
Yeah.
I
can't wait for... I'm glad that they took Ambrose off of house arrest, though, because, like, I feel like he was a wasted character being stuck in the house all the time.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely, like... You know, like, it explained his whole character, and there's, like, a whole backstory, but I'm glad that that they freed him from that.
Yeah. I like how when Dark Priest was talking about, like, he touched a little bit on Ambrose's background. He was like, you did this, and you did this, and you did this. Why the hell were you trying to blow up the Vatican? And I'm like, that is a good question. But he's, like, from just the little tidbits that he was saying about his life, it's like, he's lived quite the gay old life.
I know, right? I was like, okay, do we get the Adventures of Ambrose at some point? Like...
Yeah, right. They might just do, like, a full episode where they do that. Oh, I would love that.
A whole flashback?
Yeah, like, just of his life.
That would be very cool. How old is he supposed to be? Do you know?
I don't.
Is he supposed to be, like, older, like the aunts? Like...
Well, I mean, he's obviously older than Sabrina, who just turned 16. But, I don't know. They don't really say.
Yeah, they don't go into that.
Yeah. He seems to really be into, like, 70s stuff. So, I don't know. I don't think he was born in the 70s because they said he taught... Like, as far back as they went in his little history thing, he said he taught magic tricks to Houdini. So, he's at least, like... I don't know. When the fuck was Houdini around?
I thought Houdini was around in, like, the 30s.
Yeah, so he has to at least been around in the 30s.
Let me fact check myself, because I'm really wildly off about these things.
I mean, does one really have to know anything when you have a phone in your pocket?
I would still like to know things. Houdini died in 1926, so he was just a little bit, he was, like, before that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's at least 100.
Yeah. Sounds right. Anyway, yeah, I love Ambrose. So his romance... story, his, like, romantic storyline, when Aunt Hilda is working at that book coffee shop, and the guy that Ambrose is dating comes in, and she, like, puts that love potion in his drink, does that mean he is under a spell to like Ambrose? Does he actually...
Yes, so that's what I've been wondering, too. I was like, especially after watching it a second time, I was like, I really, like, I picked up on it the first time, but really, like, took notice of it the second time, and I was like, I don't think this is going to bode well in the long run, because it's like, does he really love Ambrose, or is he, like, charmed to love him?
Yeah, like, is he under the influence... of the spell, like, about Ambrose, or, like, was that potion just, like, gave him a little push in the right direction to, like, you know, give Ambrose a call, sort of a thing?
Yeah. So
that's what I was confused about.
Me too. I need clarification.
Yeah, let's at the writer.
Yeah. Tell me!
Tell us!
I'd be like, no, you can just DM me personally. I won't tell. I promise.
I need to know. It's, like, the only gay romance
in the show. Yeah.
I'm like, is it even real?
Is it even real? Are gays real?
Do we even get this? Like, he had to astrally project to go on a date, which, like, relatable. But...
Yeah. I was thinking that. It's like trapped in your own home. I'm like, relatable content.
Sorry, I have to just astrally project on this date real quick.
And if I don't get home in time, I will be dragged off into the beyond.
Yep.
Which, again, relatable content.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, it's just the gay experience.
True. Can we talk about my boyfriend, Nick Scratch?
Yeah. Yes. My first thought about what's the school called?
The Academy of Unseen Arts.
Yeah, my first thought, which, like, is an awesome name, and my first thought, I was like, this is like Hogwarts if everyone was a Slytherin.
Basically. Welcome to Slytherin Academy.
I was just like, Nick should be wearing Slytherin robes. Like, I could just so clearly picture him with a green tie on.
My fantasy.
Yeah. Welcome to Chad Love Yourself. First one of the season.
First one of the season. And yet, I don't care. This is the one instance where this has happened where I'm like, no shame.
No, he is very hot. Yeah, I really like Nick, and I really like that his character isn't the typical bad boy love interest.
Oh, yes, I love that.
Like, he's really just kind of like, he seems just very like Sabrina's friend. Like Sabrina I think when they first meet, she's like, yo, I have a boyfriend, like, whatever, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't get mad about it. He doesn't get, like, aggressive towards her. He doesn't keep trying to, like, I mean, he still hits on her a little bit. You know, he continually, like, act romantic towards her.
Flirtatious. I would say flirtatious.
Yeah, flirtatious. But it really didn't feel like it didn't feel like the usual, like,
overstepping your bounds.
You can be with me instead of that nice guy, like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Because Nick actually has some, like, really great moments.
Yeah, he really goes out of his way to, like, help her do stuff. She's like, oh, I want to do this and I want to do that. And he's just like, okay, I'll help you. Like, yeah. He literally is just the most helpful person. She's just like, I want to do this. Is like, oh, I need to figure out this configuration thing. He's like, well, I'm reading your dad's journals. I can help you out, maybe.
Well, I feel like it was also like, I feel like he actually is interested in the stuff that she's talking about. Like, he's like, isn't he, like, taking a necromancy class and stuff?
Yeah.
Like, he's actually into all the stuff that she wants to do. So he's not just, like, I think why it doesn't feel like the usual, like, him trying to edge in on her relationship is because he's not just doing these things because he has a crush on her. He actually is into the stuff that she wants to do. So he's like, yeah, I like you a little bit, but also I'm just, like, really into necromancy, so let's do this.
Yeah.
yeah, like, he's actually there for the thing, not just because he's, like, trying to get with Sabrina.
Yeah. I think it's because they present him as someone... They present him, one, as an actual friend, but they also present him as a, kind of almost like a logical foil to Harvey.
Yeah.
Because he is a nice guy who genuinely cares. He's just a warlock, so he's like the other side of the coin almost.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like, he goes to Harvey's house. Like, she asks him to go protect Harvey in the, like, in the whole, like,
last episode and whatnot.
Yeah, when the 13 are coming or whatever. He, like, goes to Harvey's house to, like, help him protect his home. And then he actually, like, says to Harvey, like, no, she likes you. You're an idiot. Like, she's in love with you.
Yeah.
And she sent me here because she loves you. And you're stupid.
Yeah.
You know, instead of being, like, the typical bad boy who would be like, oh, I'm going to go and I'm gonna say a bunch of stuff to him that's gonna want to make him never see her again, like, he actually goes and is like, helps him out, and then is like, you're an idiot. You should be with her.
Yeah. He's just like, all right, bye.
Yeah. Side note, I ship them, but, you know.
What, Nick and Sabrina, or?
No, Nick and Harvey.
I'm into it.
Yep.
I can't wait to go write this fan fiction later.
I haven't even looked at fan fiction. I wonder if it's already out there. I hope so.
Any fan fiction that is not Harvey and Nick Scratch need not apply.
Or Prudence and
Cheryl. I went crossover fic.
Oh my god, I love it. I bet you there is. I bet you. I'm gonna look it up. I'm gonna look it up. Yeah, no, pretty much any heterosexual love triangle, I am definitely shipping the same sex. Like, the two of the same sex.
I mean, fair. I'm into yeah. it.
It's just a rule. Yeah, did you have anything else to say about Nick?
No, just that I'm in love with him.
Just wish he was real and... Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I can't believe we went this whole episode without really talking about Miss Wardwell.
Oh, I was gonna follow up with Miss Wardwell right now, actually.
Oh, okay.
And we did kind of... Did we talk about her?
Nah.
I feel like I mentioned her name.
I mentioned it once or twice. I love how she's just, like, in the shadows in almost damn near every scene.
I absolutely love her. I love her.
She's just, like, around.
She is so funny. That actress is so, like, good at, like, whatever comedic bits they give her. And she's just, like... I just love the fact that she... I really do like the end of the season where, like, she reveals her, like, final plot. And she's like, I'm actually in it for myself. I'm like, yes, girl. I just...
We love a villain with motivations.
True, true. Yeah, I was like... At first, I was, like, kind of disappointed that she... wasn't actually on Sabrina's side. Like, she is, but is also kind of, like, is also, like, trying to manipulate Sabrina. And I was, like, I was kind of sad that she wasn't just, like, a quirky, like, support character.
Mm-hmm.
That she did have to also be, like, a villain. That she had to be one of the forces that Sabrina was trying to protect herself against. But,
yeah.
You know. But then, I don't know. I like her.
Yeah. What's interesting is I remember in the comics, I think she's supposed to be the primary antagonist. Like, I think she was trying to kill Sabrina in the comics.
Oh my gosh.
Because she was, like, a jilted lover of her father.
Well, I'm really glad they didn't do that.
Yeah. Like... It's a different kind of... It's a whole different kind of dynamic. Like, she...
Yeah.
Like, because I think in the comic book, she was originally, like, with Edward, and then he married Sabrina's mom, who was the mortal. And the whole thing was, like, he married her just so they could have the child, and then, like, afterwards, he stole the baby, and then, like, the mom ended up in, like, a psych ward somewhere.
I read that on Wikipedia about the mom, and I was like, oh no, did I just spoil something for myself? But I don't think they're going to go in that direction.
Yeah, I don't think they're doing the same plot points from the comics. I think they're using a lot of the source material of the comics to shape the show, but I think they're just, like, going in whatever. I think they realized that they needed sustainability for it to be a series, so they're like, we need to change these things.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, I'm glad they didn't keep Miss Wardwell's character the same.
Me too.
I feel like it's way more interesting for her to be, like, what is she, Mother of Demons? Is that?
Yeah. So She's supposedly Lilith.
Okay.
Which, according to the Bible, she was Adam's first wife.
Interesting.
And then whatever happened, and then God made Eve. It was
whatever happened.
Well, I've heard it like categorized a bunch of different ways. The funniest one to me was that it's like Lilith was like, "No, I don't want to only have sex in the missionary position. I want to get on top."
Oh my God.
And they're like, "Nope, she's gotta go."
She's evil.
A woman that can think for herself, get her out of here.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah, that is really funny, because then Eve comes along, eats from the apple.
It's, I know, that like... Eve is an evil bitch also. The Bible really hates women.
Oh, yeah.
I went to Catholic school. I can 100% attest.
Yeah, Christianity is, like, super misogynist.
Which is so funny, which is, like, funny going back to the whole, like, Satanist conversation we were having before about them, like, portraying, like, Satanism versus Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Christianity is, like, extremely patriarchal. How are you going to make Satanism the antithesis of Christianity and yet still patriarchal?
It is very weird.
Like, what are we doing here?
I think it's just because the priest is a man and then also out for his own specific interests. Because Sabrina kind of touches on that where she was just like, I think it was around the Feast of Feasts episode when she was talking about, like, the Dark Priest is a man and he is immortal. He can do, like, he can just be doing things of his own volition for his own personal needs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think they kind of touch on that a little bit, but I don't know.
Which is, like, really a great, honestly, just a great commentary on, you know,
religion. Religion in general.
Yeah, religion in general, where it's like, this is the word of God. Well, God... yeah? Is it?
Is it? Because really, the whole Bible was basically written throughout cosmic game of telephone.
Yeah, apparently.
God told the angel, the angel told the human. The human was just like, I'm gonna just write whatever I feel like.
I'm going to just write that we shouldn't eat shellfish and women are evil and...
Don't you be wearing no mixed cotton fibers. If I see you wearing a cotton poly blend, I'm going to stone you to death.
And gays are also evil. Okay, cool. Bye.
Also, we hate pigs. Bye. Which fuck you, because bacon is delicious.
We hate pigs. Yeah, I really have nothing to say about Miss Wardwell other than I just really love her and I am really excited to see her season 2 storyline.
Oh, me too, because like, now that she got Sabrina to sign the book, I'm just interested to know, like, what the rest of her plan is.
Yeah.
Is she just gonna, like, fuck shit up for fun?
I wonder if she's gonna just try to get Sabrina to, you know, join her. To, like, I wonder if she's gonna get Sabrina to be, like, her right-hand person, you know?
Maybe. I would be interested in that. That would be very interesting.
You know, like, she was trying to get Sabrina to sign the book so that she could get full power, and then now she's going to use Sabrina's full power to her advantage.
Probably.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, she was really pulling the strings behind the scenes to get Sabrina to do stuff.
Yeah.
Although, That one where she was, like, telling her exactly the necromancy spell that she needed was so funny. She's just like...
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
She's like, oh, I've had... I actually know a spell, and I've had, like, very good, like, results with very little, setbacks. And she's like, I keep... It's like, but you'd need a book, which I keep in my office on the first shelf, like, right next to that one. Like, not next to the cookbook, but the other one. The other shelf. You know which one I'm talking about, right?
She's like, but don't go get it.
Yeah.
But it's red and it's got black lettering, but don't use it.
Exactly. To which I'm just like, Sabrina, did you not feel led, like, just a little bit?
I know. Some of the stuff that Sabrina is oblivious to is so funny.
It's just proof that you can be so smart yet so dumb at the same time.
That's called being a teenager.
Facts. That's tea, actually.
That's tea. That gif of Ina Garten where she's like, oh, there's the tea.
Yeah. I love Ina Garten.
So funny. The funnier thing is the full video of it where she's just like walking through the grocery store for like 30 seconds in silence. And then she comes to that aisle. She's like, oh, there's the tea.
I'm like, I'm supposed to believe that Ina Garten has never been to this grocery store before. Well, actually, I could believe that because she fucking grows damn near everything in her own house.
Exactly.
She's just like...
She doesn't set foot in grocery stores anymore.
Yeah, she's like, oh, if you can't kill your own cow and harvest it, store-bought is fine.
Store-bought is fine. If you can't raise a herd of cattle and then select the great, the most tender one... slaughter it over a process of 36 hours and then cure the meats and salt them yourself. Store-bought is just fine.
The funniest part is that sounds like exactly like something she said before. Ugh, loves it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's anything that we're missing, but I feel like we've pretty much dissected the whole show.
I'm trying to think if there's anything. I mean, we went over all of my bullet points, so.
I think the only other thing that I'm really interested in knowing is what the fuck is going on with Dr. Cerberus.
Who is that?
The guy who owns the bookstore.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That's right. They gave us, like, a little teaser that, like, he was maybe something more than human.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really interested to see that. Also, I fucking wish that bookshop was real.
True. Like a coffee bookshop? That's so lit.
There is one. There are, like, coffee bookshops.
True.
That are, like, you know, cute little specialty stores. But,
that one was very diner-y.
Well, that one, it was, first of all, it was diner-y, and it had the whole, like, costume aesthetic part of it that I was like, oh, I really need this to be a real place. Like, you go and everyone's like dressed up as Dracula. I'm like, I love this.
You know what? Let's just write up a business proposal and like make the place ourselves.
I am 100% down for that. I want it to be real. Like, 365 days a year, we are out here being spooky.
Yes. Welcome to Spoopy Books.
Welcome to Spoopy Books.
It would have to have, like, a cool name. We can...
Spooks. Spooks.
I don't know. And then we'll have, like, an It's 2 a.m. special.
Hi, guys. Welcome to Spooks.
We close at 4, but if you come in at 2, we have, like, a special deal going on.
We close at 4 a.m.?
Yeah.
When do we open?
Oh, we would open late, because we're open late. So I'll open at, like, noon, maybe.
That's true. I like this. These are the hours in which I operate.
Goes to sleep really late, wakes up really late.
Yep. Yep, yep.
But, you know, I can't wait to start this bookstore that has no name at the moment.
Well, I like spooks, but okay.
It's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, no, I think that is pretty much my thoughts. I loved it.
I did too.
I loved it.
I mean, I watched it twice, so I mean, clearly I loved it.
That's pretty great.
I might watch it four more times.
You should. Yeah, I feel like I also feel like season two is going to be really good. Like, I feel like they left it at a really good place.
Yeah, like I'm really glad that Netflix greenlit it for two seasons before it even started.
Yeah, wasn't this technically part one or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm very confused about on Netflix, where they have like parts instead of seasons. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
I don't know. They're just out here doing whatever the fuck they want at this
True.
They're like, let's make a holiday movie with Cat Graham. Like, okay.
I mean, good for her because Cat Graham is. I like Cat Graham, but you know.
Oh, love her.
The Vampire Diaries really wasted her.
Yeah, absolutely. Wasted a lot of good people, but here we are.
Here we are with another iteration of The Vampire Diaries.
I cannot believe it. It's literally like how Harry Potter has like a thousand different things.
It just won't end. It
Just will not end.
I am at a loss for words.
Yep.
But anyway, those are our thoughts on Sabrina.
Yeah.
What are we gonna do next time?
Ooh. Well, we have quite a few things on the books for season two, I think.
Ooh, let's spice it up. Let's do home and garden.
Yeah.
I mean, we watch a lot of HGTV shows and stuff, so.
Home and garden television.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down with that. You know that's my jam, so.
True.
Yeah.
Also, interesting thing my mom recently told me.
Yeah.
Apparently, Chip and Joanna are gonna have their own TV network.
So, is that what it is? Because I heard they were coming back to TV, and I wasn't sure if that meant they were coming back to Fixer Upper or.
Yeah, she told me they're gonna like have their own network, to which I was just like, what?
Interesting.
But they do have hella bank from all of their avenues and stuff.
Oh my God, they're fucking billionaires at this point.
I know, I'm gonna have to marry into that family.
Good luck. All their kids are like 12 right
I
now.
know, I'm like, do you guys have like a fringe brother or something?
A French brother?
No fringe.
Oh, French. Like, why does he have to be French?
I don't want them to speak English. That way they won't talk to me.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
But anyway.
Loves it. Loving this concept.
Yeah, so tune in next time. We'll do home and garden because, you know,
Woo.
that's all fun stuff.
Oh,
As always, thanks for listening.
thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.